So June 6th, True Commission Audit Committee meeting. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Tommy Carter, Council Auditor's Office.
Alexander Hoffman.
Bruce Tyson, CPAC School.
Charles Barr. All right.
You ready?
Go ahead.
The Council Auditor's Office released 5 reports since the last True Commission meeting. Report number 762C, which is a follow-up on the city payroll audit. This is the third follow-up on the city payroll audit. In the original audit, there were 33 findings, and then there were 9 issues remaining at the beginning of this follow-up. This follow-up cleared 8 of the 9 items. The one remaining issue is dealing with the reconciliation issues. Basically, the HR has an Oracle-based system, and we have one cloud, and then there's the treasury. And there has to be interfaces between the three, even though the two Oracles, they're implementing a new Oracle system for HR that will talk directly to the new one cloud system. But that won't be implemented until 2026. They're working on that. So basically, for this follow-up, we found that there were various reconciliations between the payroll system and the financial system, and then to the actual cash disbursement through Treasury was not being performed or done in a timely manner. And the timely manner, Treasury was doing their reconciliations on an annual basis. Now they're doing it monthly. It wasn't until Treasury was reconciling cash that it was discovered there was an interface issue between the systems that totaled $11 million with the city financials. So the payroll system and the city financials accounting does that reconciliation to make sure that everything that's gone through payroll enters into the city financials. And then Treasury does reconciliation to make sure that what the payroll says went out was actually agreed with the amount of cash that went out from the Treasury. The city I believe it was ARP dollars from all the COVID fundings gave each employee a $2,500 bonus after premium, they called it, I think it was. Just for going through all the information, going through the COVID and all the things like that. And that's what that $11 million was. There wasn't anything missing. It just, there was an interface issue, and they just knew that something was off by $11 million with the city's financials. So they are working on that. We've also found there was not a timely supervisory review of the reconciliation. Also, standard operating procedures were not updated for the new system, and the new one cloud system, and then the new system, as I said before, won't be in place until 2026. So the steps that payroll and Treasury have taken is they have now started biweekly reconciliation between the payroll system and the financial system. There's now increased communication between HR and payroll for terminal leave reconciliations, and then Treasury Division is now doing monthly reconciliations of payroll instead of yearly. I was talking with Council Auditor today, and we are planning, there'll be another follow-up done on this before the new system goes in 2026, so a year or so, we'll probably try to do a follow-up on that to see if they've addressed these issues. Okay. Any questions on that one? Okay. Report number 882. This is the city encumbrance carry forward audit. It was released on May 14th of 2024. The objective of this audit was to ensure that budget capacity that's associated with encumbrance carry forwards was accurate, and that any unused budget capacity carry forward was released to fund balance. excuse me. According to Governmental Auditing Standards Board, An encumbrance is a commitment to a budgeted expenditure that is recorded in the accounting system before any actual expenditure or payment occurs. Think of it as a reservation of funds for a specific thing. Encumbrances are used to ensure that funds are set aside and not overspent. Once an encumbrance is recorded, it reduces the amount of available budget. It acts like an expenditure without being an expenditure. An encumbrance will remain in the accounting system until either the related goods or services are received and the encumbrance is closed, or until the encumbrance is canceled. For example, once a purchase order is issued, there's an encumbrance for the full amount to prevent that area from overspending. So that our scope was fiscal year 2019-20 through fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2022. excuse me. Each of the 2 years had over $400 million in encumbrance carryforwards. A lot of those funds were impacted by capital improvement funds for those things. So what we found instances where the encumbrances were not accurately carried forward, which resulted in overstated and understated budget capacity. Additionally, we found that that encumbrance related to prior years that were closed or reduced were not properly released to fund balance. And we found on finding three, which is purchase order balances carried forward were reduced without a reduction to budget. $9.3 million carried forward from fiscal year 21 and a $7.3 million carry forward into fiscal year 21-22. Total of both of those years is $16.4 million, and that was overstated and carried forwards budget capacity that should have been released to fund balance. So now there's a caveat there that, you know, the city, I won't say we got lucky, but the city experienced savings in the expenditures line, so it doesn't appear that the overstated budget capacities were spent. They did not overspend their budget allowances. So this one, of course, there'll be a follow-up, but that kind of covers a quick overview of that audit. Any questions on that?
No. There'll be plenty to come. There'll be plenty.
Yes. Yes, there will be. Report number 883, which is the quarterly summary for the 6 months ended March 31st, 2024, was released on May 15th of 2024. Basically, we found that out of four independents, JEA is projecting balanced budgets at year end. They still need to do their budget amendment for their appropriation of $28.2 million in reserves for capital projects and electric, and as well as $16.1 million in reserves for capital projects for water sewer, and as well as district energy for $410,000. They basically appropriated their surplus revenues from the prior year, but they have to get council approval to do that. Get a budget amendment to amend their budget. JTA, there was no budgetary stress projected as a whole. However, if their projections hold, and I stress these are still projections, but if they hold, they'll need to do budget amendments for the CTC division, which is their connection division, that they're projecting to be $2,097,346 over budget, and that's due to additional costs for the contract provider that provides for the connection and the connection plus service, and also fuel costs that are above budget. And those dollars are being funded by additional transfers from bus operations. And the second one is the second division that's projected to be over budget is the ferry division. It's projected to be over budget by $203,000, and that's mainly due to increased fuel costs. For JPA, it anticipates a $4.5 million surplus, at the end of the year due to excess revenues and autos and cruise revenues, as well as investment income and then savings in their debt service.
So do they keep the ferry open just for nostalgic reasons?
Actually, no. It is the one connector to A1A. So it's the connector to a state road. A1A ends at Mayport and picks up back across the river.
That's why they keep it open?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
State road.
I mean.
Yep.
Yep. You would have thought when they built that bridge 40 years ago, they would have shut it down.
The Dames Point?
Yeah.
Still huge amount of time to get
around.
Yeah, it is. I guess even with the Wonderwood, it's still a little while.
It is. I forget how many miles it is out of the way, but it's a state road connector.
Okay.
And for a while, the state maintained the ferry and paid for it. But I believe it was under Governor Childs, I think it was, that gave it to the city. Said, we're not doing this anymore. So the city had it, and then JPA had it, and now JTA has it, is running it.
I haven't ridden it one time since I was a little boy, I guess.
Yeah.
A few years ago, but do they ever go up on the price?
I mean,
they know how many people they ride every year. They know that.
Right.
I'm sure that's an average number. And how much it costs.
I forget how much it is now to go across. It's on the JTA app. They went up maybe a little bit, it's not horrible. It's $5, I think, or something like that.
Maybe they're worried if they go up too much to help pay for some of the $250,000 deficit that people won't ride it, then you'll be even worse off.
Right. Well, and usually the ferry comes pretty close to paying for itself. It connects A1A, so that's the state road. That's the reason why.
I was wondering why they kept it open.
This past year they had a big maintenance overhaul.
Actually, the big overhaul was last year, but then they shut it down again for the month of February because of they were working on the gantries, improving those, as well as they were finishing up, I guess, the overhaul. And the Coast Guard mandates an overhaul that the boat has to be taken out of the water and inspected, basically the whole boat inspected, 2 out of every 5 years. So every 5 years, you've got to have an inspection every 2 years because of the hauling people. And also JTA is beginning to, it was approved by their board, to look to purchasing another vessel.
Well, they used to have 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. They did, but the other one became so old that, this one would be, they're looking at a hybrid diesel. So they're looking at it. So yes.
Just for information, it came up, cars were $7 during the week and $8 on weekends.
Okay. I was off on two.
Yeah.
I live
in Arlington. I used to take it all the time. I think $5 was pretty close, and I was like, I don't know.
Is that one way? Is that one way?
One way. Used to be something to do.
Used to be $2. Well, I couldn't remember when I was first got here, it was like $2.
I know on the weekends, bikes are quite popular on it as well.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah. And JAA is anticipating a surplus of $13.9 million, and that's due to additional investment income and debt service savings from the reductions in finances. Financing costs is due to the delays in starting the Concourse B, as well as parking revenue that they're receiving. The city has a overall variance of a favorable variance of $35 million. The $9.3 million favorable variance in revenue and a $26.3 million in expenses. The main projected revenue variances are investment earnings, ad valorem taxes, and utility service tax of $3.3 million. The unfavorable variance in revenues are franchise fees, state shared revenues, and charges for services. For expenses, the projected main variances is $12.9 million debt management fund repayments, $4.9 million in savings and fuel costs and vehicle replacement, and $4.8 million in net savings from salary and position savings from vacancies. And that's kind of a quick overview of the quarterly summary. Any questions on that one? Report number 884 is the David compliance attestation for the clerk of courts. David stands for Driver and Vehicle Information Database. This attestation is done by required by the state to be done an internal audit, which the city, which our office is internal auditors for the city, so we can do this attestation that, you know, see if we found that the clerk is required to provide, and we're just basically seeing that the clerk personnel are, and that there are proper controls are in place to protect the personal data that's in the David system. We found no issues with this. We found that proper controls are in place to protect the personal data. Clerk uses its access for court or traffic related cases. And then our scope was January of 2023 through April of 2024. And like I said, there were no issues that we found on that. Yes, sir.
Does that just include the court? Because I know there's other offices that use the David system. Because I know I was used to use it when I was in
clerk of court. Is the only one that's done. Yeah.
Okay. Doesn't JSO use it too? Don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they have a separate system.
And they have a separate system in IC.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But risk management tax collector's office, they all use David.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then the last one is report number 798B. It's a follow-up on the JTA paratransit audit. This was released on May 28th of 2024. This was the second follow-up on the paratransit audit. The original audit had 13 findings. The first follow-up cleared 9 of those findings. And this follow-up, we had 4 issues for this follow-up. These 4 issues, we found they were had been adequately addressed, and that there are no remaining issues to address after this follow-up, and this report will be closed.
Okay.
That concludes my report.
All right.
Did I talk too fast?
Anybody got any questions? Well, I guess we're adjourned. Get off that easy.
Gets here at what time?
Yeah.